Here at the cathedral, and in a lot of churches during this time of year, we are in the midst of confirmation season. In fact, we have three different masses that we've dedicated to confirmations, and our last one is going to be this upcoming Tuesday. And one of the unfortunate things that happens with the sacrament of confirmation is where it gets placed during the calendar year. Oftentimes, we do confirmations in April or May, typically. And in May specifically, there's one other big life-changing ceremony that happens to people, where people make a transition from one part of their life to another, and that's graduation. Now, there's nothing wrong with placing confirmation in the time of year that we have it. I think it makes sense. You're in the Easter season, you're close to Pentecost, where you have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's about to come. For us, that'll be in a couple of weeks. But it can give the impression, especially to those that receive confirmation, that they are graduating from the church. But in fact, confirmation is not a graduation from the church. In fact, confirmation is not the end of our liturgical journey, but it's just the beginning. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And in our first reading for this morning, we hear about confirmation in the Acts of the Apostles, where Philip goes to Samaria, and he preaches Christ to the people there, and then heals them, both physically and spiritually. And the next, the apostles who are in Jerusalem send Peter and John to Samaria. And we hear that the people are baptized there, but they've not yet received the Holy Spirit. So they pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and then they lay hands on them. And so this is one of the places in Scripture where we get an identifiable mark of confirmation. Confirmation is all about strengthening the graces that we receive in baptism. In baptism, for example, we receive all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but then at confirmation, we're able to access them. We're able to open those gifts and be able to use them. And because the church wants to connect the sacrament with apostolic succession, meaning the bishops who this is handed on to, the bishop is usually the one who does the sacrament of confirmation, like Peter and John. And just as a side note, I think it would be amazing, like, can you imagine on your, like, certificate for confirmation, like, Peter and John were on there? I think that would be pretty awesome, in my opinion, if those are the two bishops that confirmed you. The bishop, when he does confirmation, he invokes the Holy Spirit. He says a very beautiful prayer to call down the Holy Spirit, and then he usually will lay hands on the candidates. Later on, chrism was added to the rite, and when we see the word Christian, that actually means the anointed one, so it really does actually go together. The people are receiving this, they're being anointed, and then they are being sent out. When the bishop actually confirms someone, he says, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You receive this seal, then you are sent out on mission, really, to be able to proclaim the good news to other people. Confirmation, it deepens who we are as Christians. It deepens the sense that we are adopted sons and daughters of God. It unites us more firmly with Christ and his church. And it increases the Holy Spirit within us to be able to help us to defend our faith, especially in adversity. It's a very important sacrament. It's a very simple ritual, but it's a very important sacrament in our lives. But how often do we receive the sacrament of confirmation and then never think about it again? Have we actually thought about confirmation since we got confirmed? How often do we treat it, whether practically or just even really implicitly, like a graduation from the church? Well, I received that, okay, I'll be back in the church for my wedding or when I get ordained a priest. It has real the truth is that there are real, amazing, profound graces that come from confirmation. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us in a very real and present way. We are given a sense of mission to be able to go out from receiving the sacrament of confirmation. So we shouldn't neglect it. We should really embrace it, that we have it. In fact, in our gospel, Jesus tells us that he will not leave us as orphans, but he promises to send the Holy Spirit to assist us in proclaiming the gospel that he has revealed to us. And confirmation is one of those places where we have the Holy Spirit. We have these graces. We have these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, all we have to do is just call upon them. As I was praying with this, one of the things that came to my mind was when I was in seminary, I had a professor. He was from Spain, and he had kind of a deep voice, and he could be very intimidating. And he was so intimidating that sometimes you didn't really want to make eye contact with him in class because he might ask you a question. And one day I made the mistake, and I did make eye contact with him. And he looks at me, and he says, "John, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit?" And I'm like panicking, "Ah! So I just rattle some of the gifts off that I remember. I'm not even sure if I even named all of them. So I won't do that to all of you this morning. I won't ask you to name the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in case you're wondering what they are, to remember what they are, they're wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Now, one of the things I would encourage all of you to do, in fact, this could be maybe a little bit of a homework assignment, is to maybe take one of these gifts and just go research them a little bit. Because we have these gifts dwelling inside of us, we have access to them, it would make sense that we might want to know what they are, know how to use them. Maybe ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in which one might be a good one for you to look up or to know a little bit more about, or one that you might want to call upon. You know, maybe you need more wisdom in your life, maybe knowledge, maybe fortitude in a specific situation, or just more fear of the Lord or reverence. It could be a great thing to be able to do. See what happens when you do this. It's not particularly difficult. You could just go to the catechism, or you could just do a simple Google search to be able to find these. But what if we did that? What if we called upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life? What if we used them? How would that change our lives? How would that affect how we interact with people in daily situations? How would that affect how we see God? Sometimes we can often view God as very far away and very distant, but we actually have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us from the sacrament of confirmation and the other sacraments that we receive too. It can change profoundly how we see God and how we interact with others. Because again, Jesus does not abandon us. He gives us this sacrament to strengthen us. We just let it lie dormant.